Okay, it is 4:08 PM and I'd like to call the meeting to order of the August 17th, 2023 Stormwater Utility Commission meeting. Can I please have a roll call of the commissioners?
Richard Hawkinson?
Here.
Gary Mattson?
Here.
William Thomas? Richard Crocker?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, great. So, do we have anyone logging in or sitting here?
No, we do not.
So I'm not going to do the call of the audience. Okay, thank you. For the next item, next time, let's move on to council liaison comments. I'd like to turn it over now to council member Harry Green, if he has any council liaison comments.
Two projects, 100 parking spaces are now open in the community center, and it's paved, and people have stopped yelling and calling me, so that's good news. And the other thing is they began work 2 days ago on the multi-use path between, Lambert Lane and Tangerine, and they're going to town on it, so it's going to be a good thing. People will be able to get out and get on the trail without excessive cars and danger and stuff. So, two good things. Nothing to do with stormwater.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Green. Okay.
You're welcome.
The next item is the director's report. I'd like to turn it over now to John Spiker, the stormwater utility manager, for the director's reports. Commissioners, please remember there's no discussion allowed. Mr. Spiker, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. Commissioners, I'm going to start here with something the town of Oro Valley has recently launched. It's called Behind the Scenes. The Stormwater Utility was the first group to essentially be interviewed. And really the intent behind this is available on the town's website. You can search for Behind the Scenes to watch the video for those that might be watching or listening in. But I'm going to read the text here for the listening public, and then we'll watch a short video here. Again, government plays a role in all our lives, but the extent of the role can be surprising. That's why the town's launching the Behind the Scenes video series, where each month they're going to give the residents a closer look at what staff does day to day. So again, check back here monthly. Again, you can just go up into the search bar and type in Behind the Scenes. So with that, we're going to launch into the first video here. And hopefully the audio works for us. And it doesn't really sound like it will.
No.
I don't have an audio. Man, that's disappointing.
I guess video.
I should have tested it out here.
The only thing I can think of is that it's the down the bar. Not here physically, but if you go back one.
Okay. Well, we might not.
We can watch the pictures.
Yeah, I like the pictures already.
I'll do that, and I'll see if I can crank up the audio here. Let's see if I can mini size it here. Well, look, there's me.
Down here.
Right down.
Yeah.
Looks like it's at 100. Oh, well. Again, I can summarize for you. What this is really doing for us is giving a short introduction to what we're actually doing here at the Stormwater Utility. A lot of folks get us confused with the water utility themselves. So we're kind of describing some of the goals that obviously the commissioners are aware of, but really giving some insights for the public as to why they're paying the fee, the stormwater utility fee, and what it goes toward. Mm-hmm. And as the commissioners know, our two main goals here are water quality and water quantity or floodplain management. So just, again, trying to give the public a bit of an idea, and I'm probably saying the same exact thing there in the video, a bit of an idea of what it is we do on a day-to-day basis, mapping assets, doing inspections, responding to resident complaints, and really trying to provide as safe a space as we can for folks. Some of the highlights here, too, we're talking about what we design to, what levels we design to. So typically industry standard, we're designing to the 100-year event, or the 1% storm chance is a more accurate way to say that. People get confused when you say 100-year event. Whoa, it only rains that heavy once in 100 years. No, 1% chance it can 1% chance every time it rains that it can rain to a volume or a level of which we design to. And I've said it before, but we cannot tell Mother Nature to stop when we've had enough or it reaches the tops of the bank protection or fills up a culvert. We could see a 500-year event. Ms. Morrison regaled a story earlier about Vermont. They saw a 1,000-year event happen this year. Kentucky saw a 1,000-year event last year. Wow. So those will overwhelm any system anybody designs to. So, again, I encourage everybody to go onto the website. This is Jane Hutchins, our stormwater inspector. She's giving a bit of an introduction to what she does on a daily basis. And Scott Bennett, our GIS analyst, is also inclusive of this video. So, again, the town really wanted to give a bit of sense to the general public what we do on a daily basis. So, again, I encourage everyone to go take a peek at that, and you will then hear the audio and actually have a better idea of what we do. So that was first up. I got a whole slew of other things here. We are knee-deep in monsoon season. We finally got some rain. But what we have seen since really early July is extreme wind events. The floodplain administrator, public works director, town engineer, Mr. Paul Kiesler, wanted me to relay to y'all the scenario he found himself in. Mr. Kiesler's roof literally blew off his house in July during one of the events. So he wanted to remind the public and the commissioners here, please contact your insurance agents. Make sure you guys are adequately covered for today's reconstruction dollars. It's always a good opportunity to go back and talk with your agent and make sure you've got adequate coverage in addition to seeking out information in regard to flood insurance. Homeowners insurance will not cover flood damage to your property or structure. So please take that opportunity to inquire about flood insurance should you live near or around a wash. Secondly, we've had notification that Tropical Storm Hillary is blowing off the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Mexico. It's supposed to travel northward up towards San Diego this weekend. There'll be minimal impacts to Tucson because of that storm, but certainly southwestern Arizona is going to be impacted traveling up into California. So please take precautions if you happen to be traveling to San Diego this weekend, which Rich Hawkinson just got back from. But nonetheless, anybody traveling through the Tohono O'odham Reservation this weekend down toward Rocky Point or up and down the California coast, please pay attention to that storm and make sure you're as safe as possible. Thirdly, we have had a ton of fires start up through July and into August here. Luckily, the rains have put them all out, but I flagged up four different fires that have occurred since we last met. First, we're going to start off the Ventana Fire. That was in Ventana Canyon on the south side of the Catalinas over there. It was in an existing burn area, so it was easily controlled and put back out. The Chimney Fire started up in Reddington, between the Rincon Mountains and the Catalina Mountains. Burned a decent amount of acreage, but no structure damage, and that got put out. Then we had the Bull Creek Fire happening in Oracle Junction, where the 77 and 79 meet. Again, no structure damage up there. That was a July 24th time frame. Again, the rains put that back out, so kudos to our fire department's personnel and first responders on that one. Lastly, August 13th, we had the Spud Fire happening in the Rincons. These were all generated by lightning. And considering we haven't really had a ton of rain, it makes sense that these things are happening. But the little bit of rain we have had has helped put these things out in addition to our fire department folks. So kudos to all involved. And I'm glad to hear these things didn't blow up into anything significant. But you're all aware, you've all seen the lightning. the sound and fury happening so far this monsoon season. So please be aware of that and take precautions as necessary. Fourth, the Tucson Fire Department had to respond to a man trapped in the Santa Cruz River on August 1. That was around Grant Road. This was in the evening. He was in the wash and got trapped up against the bridge abutment. So they had to do a swift water rescue. They did save the man. No injuries were reported, but that's in the middle of town. This stuff can happen anywhere. So, again, please be aware of the weather conditions, and I do not advise walking up and down the washes this time of year. It's not safe. So please take precautions for that. Lastly, on a more positive note, September 16th is National Cleanup Day. So the day set aside for people to unite and reduce litter in their communities. And again, that's got a direct impact to stormwater quality. So look out for some flyers with that, or if you can, go out and do some cleanup around your neighborhood and really help the stormwater utility keep Oral Valley beautiful and keep our stormwater runoff as clean as it can be. And with that, Chair Crocker, that is the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Let's move on to agenda item number one, review and approval of the June 22nd, 2023 special meeting, session meeting. Commissioners, you have received copies of the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections that need to be made at these minutes? Please raise your hand if you wish to speak.
I would change Mr. to Doctor. You'll make my mother happy. I'm green.
Okay.
Sorry about that. That's all right. You have no way of knowing.
You have so many names. Mo, Harry.
Right, right. Keep Oral Valley green.
Like it.
Well, I had no problems with it. It was a very short meeting, and we didn't do much. So you guys are looking at it now. Just take a few minutes, and we'll... Yes, Richard.
Comments. I move that we approve the minutes from...
We have a motion to approve the minutes. Can I have a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous, three of us. Thank you. Okay. We now have agenda item two, discussion of meetings and events. So, Mr. Spiker, please proceed to the staff presentation.
Thank you, Chair Crocker and commissioners. Up on the screen here and as a part of the agenda packet, you can see some of the upcoming and current activities going on here. What I'd like to point out to you at the last Pima County Regional Flood Control District Advisory meeting, Pima County let us know that FEMA is coming down to perform environmental and historic preservation studies on our hazard mitigation grant program projects. The county has a couple that they're undertaking, the Cañada del Oro levee augmentation project, as well as a wash coming out of the Catalinas near Finger Rock at First Avenue and Ina Road. In addition to those projects getting assessed, the town's projects are getting assessed, at least one of them, the Sierra Wash project at Via Mandarina. The town recently completed Sierra Wash at Naranja. We've got two more projects loaded up on Sierra Wash, one at Via Mandarina, which is upstream of Naranja, as well as Glover. So we're excited to see FEMA moving forward with some of those. We still have not been cleared, but this is one of the steps in getting that project funded through the HMGP process and getting some FEMA dollars allocated toward that. So that will be happening shortly, and I hope subsequently we get approval and the funding will be released. We still don't have a date on that, but we are ready to go, and we'll wait to see what the EHP study shows us. But we're excited to hear that, and that's really all the things of importance on the meetings and events, Chair Crocker.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions, Mr. Spiker? Commissioner Hawkins?
If Mr. Spiker could maybe state, I think he stated that they were wildlife mitigation.
This is HMGP Hazard Mitigation Grant Program.
Okay.
These were set up due to the Bighorn Fire in 2020. Not all of the funds were utilized across the state. So we put our hat in the ring as, you know, the Tortolitas were on fire during 2020 as well as the Catalinas. So increased runoff potential is how we justified these particular projects for justification under that program. But it is the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program is what we've applied for.
What's the average level that you're asking for?
The two Sierra Wash projects, we have asked for roughly $250,000 from FEMA. In addition to that, we have the Highlands Mobile Home Park. That is upwards of $3.5 million that we're requesting from FEMA to do those improvements. So all in total, we're approaching $4 million in FEMA funding requests to help us out. As a part of that, there is a local match coming with those projects. We are doing all the design work ourselves, so that is part of the contribution. But we will be doing 10% and 25% matches, depending on which grant program they allocated to us. And as those get closer, we certainly will be pushing those projects onto you all and showing you what we want to do and some of the timing and schedules, et cetera.
Thank you.
Any further questions on this?
I have a question, Commissioner Mattson. Do you count us anywhere for in-kind services, especially when you're applying for a grant or something?
The commissioners themselves? Traditionally, we have not, Commissioner Mattson. We do count internal staff's work efforts toward in-kind contributions. But I will look into that. I
because
have not seen that happen to date.
Our input. Mm-hmm.
Public outreach, even.
Well, more than that. But sometimes when you're looking at specific projects, it might help. Might be helpful.
At any potential
for
to
any,
reduce
any
the
way,
contribution.
Especially when you you have to charge a 50-50 or whatever it is, it's... For example, my in-kind services. I've been on several commissions, and we've always charged what the going rate was for me and my expertise and my background in consulting as in-kind services.
I will certainly look into that.
So you never know.
You do not, and there's always strange strings attached with in-kind contributions. So I will certainly look into that because, again,
every little dollar counts.
Yes, it does. Okay.
Any further questions for Mr. Spiker? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Spiker. Let's move on to agenda item number 3, discussion and presentation of 2023 Oro Valley Monsoon Update. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker, yet again. So obviously the monsoon season typically runs June through September. We really haven't seen a ton of rain this year up here. It's been a non-soon for the most part. Some areas of Oro Valley, particularly up by the Oro Valley Marketplace, have seen some rain fall. But it's really been pretty dry until last night.
Yep. Let's believe it.
So let me zoom in here and we'll get on with the presentation here.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
That looks pretty good.
Very nice.
So, again, monsoon season running through June to September is a beautiful picture of an isolated storm event just literally dumping right onto a part of town there. I just love it. It looks like somebody just dragged a paintbrush straight down. Here are some rainfalls. Again, because we have to get these things out early, we cut it at August 1. 2.5 inches around the marketplace. It seems like more than what we've visually observed, but these are coming right out of Pima County's rain gauges. This is a publicly available website. If you type into your internet search browser, Pima County rain gauges, you will come to this type of screen, and it does show the entirety of Pima County. I've clipped this just to our area here. But these little tags represent all the rain gauges in the area here.
Okay.
Last year, this rain gauge up above Finger Rock, I believe, was pushing 40 inches of rain for the year. Again, this is only for monsoon, but you can see they've only got 3/4 of an inch. It's been pretty dry out there. Last night, what we saw at the Rancho Vistoso, La Cholla and Moore, and the Marketplace rain gauges, these four rain gauges registered roughly 0.8 inches of rain. It wasn't a lot, but it did register a decent amount. It also caused what we call a first flush event, where you've got all the leaf litter, all the debris that just kind of sits around in the dry part of the season, and it flushes all that stuff down the streets and down the washes. So most of y'all, including the public, probably saw a lot of that this morning. Lots of leaf litter, lots of branches, lots of debris all over the place. But from a rainfall perspective, it really was not a very intense storm. So what have we been doing? Or what have we been seeing here? Again, it kind of got off to a late start, and we saw portions out here, La Cholla and Moore, 0.04 inches of rain from June to August. That's nothing. So parts of town have been very dry. Others have seen a little bit of rain, but we really haven't seen too much rainfall. There hadn't been a lot of quote-unquote flooding issues happen here. But what we have seen, extreme wind and some lightning. We already talked about the fires happening around town here. Anybody that's been to the Marketplace has certainly seen the tree fall happening down there. Mm-hmm. And again, last night, it wasn't so much the rain as the wind damage. And oddly enough, as I was sitting in my house last night listening to the rainfall, it was blowing east to west for the first half of the storm. And then it switched literally 180 degrees and it went west to east. And I think that's really what caused significant tree fall around town here, is that twisting wind pattern just literally ripped the trees right out of the ground. We saw solar panel damage. Naranja Park got hit pretty bad last night. The new fields got damaged. The slopes were damaged. But I haven't heard of anybody getting hurt, and I haven't heard of any significant structure damage, which is great. But certainly the landscapers are busy. But because this was done before last night, we can only show you what we had taken pictures of. But this is the Marketplace. Again, significant tree fall happening down there. They had winds up 70 miles an hour, which is what we saw last night, 60 to 80 mile an hour wind range. Wow. And it blows these palaverias and mesquites literally right over, just uproots them. Okay. So again, here's some more tree damage. You know, I'm not aware of anybody's cars getting damaged at the Marketplace and no building damage, but they were really busy and they're probably busy again. Some other things we've been up to during the monsoon season. This is Mutter's Wash at Greenock. Oracle Road is sitting right over here, and you're going into the Oro Valley Country Club. This particular box culvert gets plugged up pretty regularly. Rich Hawkinson probably knows about this particular one. This area saw some really bad flooding in 2014, so this is an area we have Jane Hutchins, our inspector, monitor after every storm event, and we actually got out there this year and cleaned it out. This is a before conditions, and we had a contractor out here dragging out or excavating out sediment, roughly about 2 feet worth of sediment out of a 4-foot-tall box, so about half of the box was full of sand. Difficult to get equipment through there, as you can imagine. It's only 4 foot tall. So they actually dragged, you can kind of see it in this picture over here on the left. They dragged a little box behind this particular backhoe and just drug it through the box and excavated out all that material. So roughly every 5 years we're in here doing this. So that was a pretty significant improvement or maintenance activity that we were up to. Can I answer any questions the commissioners might have in regard to last night's event or anything that's happened during the monsoon? Yeah, Commissioner Hawkinson.
Just a comment on my way in today from the trip. As I pull in, live in Rivers Edge 2, just east of Mobile Home Park in that care facility. Small subdivision, about 50 houses. But There must have been some pretty intense rainfall in there, because the places where the runoff usually deposits, sand and gravel, or just sands, fine sands, there was larger rocks in the streets.
Wow. Mm.
And one place up there on Brearley Street that holds water after rains appeared to have some mud and stuff in it too, more than normal.
And those are our public streets, so we will get somebody out there to take a peek at that.
And the winds, I agree.
Thank you for the presentation. Okay.
Thank you.
I agree with what you say, because we had three fairly large flower pots with cactus in them and potting or heavy soils. Three of them blown off the wall and broken.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's really been quite an intense wind activity.
Yeah.
And I can't remember a time that I've seen it happen this many times in a monsoon season. Maybe 3 years ago, the marketplace got hit before, and I think it was a mini tornado that actually landed in the marketplace itself. And very similar, they had significant tree fall. Really weird, snapped limbs, down trees, just a mess. Now, they are fairly new trees.
Yeah.
They were brought in as big boxes, so they didn't really have time to root down. And particularly if you're irrigating them, it just spreads out horizontally. Instead of doing a big tap root to go down, they just spread out onto that irrigated water. And they really have the potential to get some uplift and just blow over. So,
yeah. We've got one area in there at the end of Whalen and Hewitt, and it's a natural area.
Yep.
And I probably tomorrow will try to run up there and see if there was, if it carried gravels and stuff off of there, see if there was any cutting or
right, some erosion.
The small channels that typically carry the water.
And those rivulets coming down the slopes or up along the edges of sidewalks and roadways, I find it to be very important to start raking those out before they start becoming big gouges and then require fill material. So as we see the rivulets form on these slopes, it's really beneficial to get minor maintenance activities happening so it doesn't become a larger event and cause us to go out and get contractors. But I will put a plug in for the Public Works Department on this matter, Rich. We've got a Ask Public Works.
PW at Public Works.
PW
at OraValleyEZ.gov.
And you can find that on our website, but that's a great way to let the town know that these things are happening around town. We can then log them into our Cartograph asset management system, send out inspectors to go take a peek at that, and then potentially turn those into tasks. That also allows us to track these things. So at the end of the monsoon season or at the end of a fiscal year, we can go back and say, well, what did we do? Are these repeat issues that we need to put a bigger design or construction effort toward? Or is this a one-off, one-time thing? So we're using that Cartograph system, which we've shown off to you guys before, but we're really using that to show us patterns and see if we can head those off before they become much larger.
Well, these areas that I was talking about are natural areas are probably HOA responsibility because they're within the subdivision.
Yep, more
but
than likely.
The streets and stuff out there are, the town has typically cleaned them with their streets.
Outside of the driveway extension. But yes, and often, again, a big part, and we've relayed this to the commission and to the public before, but a big part of what we do here is outreach and education. A lot of folks don't even know that their HOA is supposed to maintain certain areas. So we always encourage people to call folks like Paige Morrison and just let us know what's happening so we can take a peek and perhaps educate folks on where they should be doing something, or again, send our folks out there to take care of these problems as well. So I certainly encourage you all to ring us up or communicate via email. publicworks@oralvalleyaz.gov is how you can get a hold of us, or come into the building here and stop by and see us, and let's have a conversation about what you guys are seeing out there. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Spiker. Let's move on to agenda item number 4, discussion and presentation of the fall 2023 Stormwater Utility Commission field trip for potential site visits. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. Again, every year we like to take the stormwater commissioners out and show off projects we've done or problem areas that we need to deal with, or just some of the natural drainage patterns that we have running through town here. It really helps the commissioners understand what we do on a day-in and day-out basis. And then we also take your guidance, your opinions, your thoughts. We might shuffle some priorities for projects should we hear some criticisms or feedback that help us elevate something up or shift things around. So as a part of that, last year we took you all out to 6 locations, really focusing on the Highlands Wash Water Course. The year before that was the Sierra Wash Water Course. So this year I had talked with my colleagues over at the water utility. They took their commission to an off-site facility, and it was the Pima County Agua Nueva facility. That's the Ina Road Treatment Plant, in essence, where they recycle the water and send that back out as reclaimed water. So that is a part of the water system. We get our water from the ground. Obviously, we pump it out with Tucson water, but a big part of the water source is reclaimed water, basically treated wastewater. We send that back down into the Santa Cruz. It infiltrates. So talking with Peter Abraham, the water utility director, again, he had taken them off-site, if you will, or outside the town boundary. So with that in mind, I came up with a couple of ideas, and I want to push those across to y'all and see what you think. So we can always do the tried and true. Go around and take a look at some of the projects that were recently completed. Shannon Road from Lambert to Naranja, our engineering division recently milled and overlaid that, but they also put some storm drain infrastructure and drainage infrastructure in there. So I think that'd be worthwhile to see. Our Sierra Wash at Naranja that I mentioned earlier, Catalina Ridge, which is over by River's Edge subdivision. We can take a peek again at Naranja Park, see what they've done since last year. The community center that Councilmember Green had mentioned earlier. We have extended the Big Wash Loop up Big Wash. Obviously, I haven't said that. But we've extended that pathway north from the hospital to Rancho Vistoso. We can go take a look at La Posada, which is at First and Lambert. That's a 5-story life plan community development that's probably the biggest one going on right now, or any other sites of interest. So again, this is more the tried and true. This is what we would normally do, just visit some sites in town. But as I mentioned earlier, the water utility took their folks out to the Agua Nueva Water Reclamation Facility. So with that in mind, I came up with 2 different sites that y'all might find interesting. First is the Pima County CERP, the Keno Environmental Restoration Project. What they've done is essentially created a gigantic retention basin, and they're using that water to irrigate all of the, I think it's Keno Sports Park now, but it used to be Tucson Electric Park, the baseball fields, the soccer fields over there, I-10 and Irvington area. So it's really great to show water reuse, floodplain management. They've done vegetation restoration. There's recreation components to it. It's a really cool site. Now, it was $50 million roughly 10 years ago. Probably tack on another 0 if you were to build that today. That's certainly outside the bounds of Oro Valley's capabilities to rebuild. But what I want to show you guys, if we went out to this facility, what is possible? What things can we be looking at doing to help stave off some of these drought conditions we're seeing now? We're building more grass up at Naranja Park. This could be a potential application to serve those kinds of parks. We have Riverfront Park. We have Push Ridge Golf Course that are still using potable water. These types of facilities might offset some of that potable water use and allow us to be a little more water smart. So that's certainly a possibility, and we'll show some examples of it here shortly. The other project is a partnership with the town of Marana in Pima County. It's called the El Rio Preserve. This is on the Santa Cruz River at the north end of Continental Ranch. So it's just north of Cortero Road on the Santa Cruz River. The county and Marana they've got a retention basin over there along the side of the river, and they're using that as a birding site in addition to do some floodplain management. So these multi-beneficial uses of these stormwater facilities are really what I'm trying to show off to you guys. So let's dive in and take a look. If you guys are on taking a look at the packet online, there are web links to these, so you can just click those and it'll bring you to the websites for Pima County and the town of Marana. So you can dive in a little deeper should you want to do that. So again, here we're going to look at KERP. Here's some aerial imagery. This is Ajo Way over here, and then just off the screen, I believe this is actually Ajo Way, and here's I-10 trucking right through here. So Tucson Electric Park, this is the main stadium. Anybody that's been out to FC Tucson games, the soccer fields are over here. This is what comprises KERP, all of this stuff here. Sam Lena Park is in here. YMCA is in here. So there's lots of facilities jammed in on top of one another. But one of the really cool features they put, call this here the deep pond, and this is more of a shallower pond. They have pumps in these ponds that pump the water back up top, and they let them trickle back down. And that keeps this vegetation growing, which you can see some photos of all the vegetation out there. This is the Tucson Diversion Channel, is what they call it. Downstream of here, you can kind of see it here, it's all concrete channel, concrete line, like the LA River. They really wanted to break that up and slow the volume of water trucking past the veterans. The VA hospital is just downstream of here. South Tucson is just downstream of here. So lots of critical infrastructure they really wanted to protect. So that was really the impetus to build this. This was an Army Corps of Engineers funded project, again, to the tune of $50 million. One of the neat things here, surface water rights was really critical here. The county didn't own the water to hold back. So they had to go strike deals to make sure that they could hold that back with any without any negative downstream impacts or people claiming, hey, that's our water. What are you doing with it? So lots of contracts, lots of agreements were made before this thing went online. And 200 acres, though, it's a pretty big facility. So that is a pretty neat thing. The next one is El Rio Preserve. Again, I mentioned it's up along Santa Cruz River. This is about 104 acres. Traditionally, there was a sand and gravel pit over there, and birds would nest in there. So Miranda really wanted to preserve that, considering it's in the Santa Cruz. The majority of that is controlled by Pima County. They partnered up with them and turned this, once it's completed, we'll be turning this into a really nice birding preserve. You can see the egret hanging out over here. But they're really just letting that pond fill up and introducing the wildlife to a water source over here. And again, they're saying they've got more than 200 species of birds that have habitated in that area. So again, really, really creating a nice habitat for the birds and bunnies and et cetera. So again, a really cool multi-use facility up along the Santa Cruz River there. So again, I just wanted to turn your minds onto something a little bit different. And go out and see some real potential that certainly the town would have to partner with somebody or shrink these down to a smaller scale to put these online. But I really like the multi-use benefit to these things. You're getting floodplain management, water conservation, water quality, recreation, habitat benefits. They're really, really neat facilities here. So I could certainly look into...
It's indirectly a retention.
Bingo.
Where we're not supposed to you know what I mean.
Yes.
But this way we're retaining that water. We're slowing it down.
Yep.
And there's a lot of spillover benefits environmentally as well as water restoration.
There really are. And Commissioner Mattson, that plays into potential grant applications. You know, having these variety of benefits come out of these projects really sell a project when you're going to seek state or federal funding to help support these things. I've been a big proponent. I actually was involved in the CURP project and a lesser extent on the El Rio Preserve, but there's some nice flyovers that you guys can go look at in some of those web links to see what they're actually planning for El Rio, and a really nice write-up on the CURP project here. So I encourage you guys to do a little bit of homework. We are looking at a date in October. So in addition to selecting sites or where we want to go, we need to hone in on a particular date. Now, I'd like to hold to the third Thursday and just say, well, in lieu of the Stormwater Utility Commission meeting, we can hold this field trip on that day. But I'm really open to whatever the commissioners would like to see. Traditionally, we have it in the morning, though October's typically really nice. We like to kind of start 8 o'clock-ish and go through the afternoon, be done around lunchtime. If we're traveling out to particularly the CURP site, again, it is out on Irvington and I-10 area, so it'll take us a little bit of time to get there. But we'd only be going to one site. Same with El Rio Preserve. We'd just be going out there to Marana, at Continental Ranch, and then coming back. Commissioner Hawkinson.
Talking about the CURP site, you said that it's designed to capture flood flows and kind of retain things and stuff in the area. Mm-hmm. When they went through, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but in their planning of that project, when they capture those flood flows that would otherwise be going down the Santa Cruz, I guess.
The Tucson Diversion Channel, but ultimately into the Santa Cruz.
And those waters would recharge the shallow groundwater system.
Yes.
Down below. And if there were any people that had any rights to groundwater, and this project, by detaining a certain volume of flood flow, eliminated the potential for recharge, thereby causing less water or these folks to deepen their wells. Did any of that come into play?
Yes, Commissioner Oxen, I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but the surface water rights, not so much the groundwater recharge, but more the surface water runoff rights, that was certainly a big part of this analyzation. Who owns those surface water rights? Who actually has claim to them? So the county did go in and ensure that they weren't taking water away from somebody else. The outlet for this is roughly at I-19 and I-10 at the interchange there is where the diversion channel spits out into the Santa Cruz River. So that was north of the Tohono O'odham Reservation. That was a big concern. We don't want to be taking away resources from those folks. And nobody's really farming through the middle of town here. Roughly a mountain area is who would be benefiting. Santa Cruz River is one of the only rivers in the country that flows north. Very strange, but Santa Cruz River does flow north. So in essence, you're talking about the city of Tucson, city of South Tucson, and Marana, who would be laying claim to those surface water rights. So that is something the Pima County Flood Control District had to overcome before this thing was ushered forward. So, yeah, that good observation, Commissioner Hawkinson. I firmly believe water and water rights are going to become more expensive than oil in the very near future here. And people have already started to acquire properties, not because of their development potential, but because of their water rights sitting underneath it. We're hearing things up in the Phoenix Valley foreign interests are laying claim to water rights and growing, utilizing groundwater to grow crops and then shipping them back. I firmly believe those types of activities are going to cease and desist because those are Arizonans' water. And quite literally, we're running out of those resources. So we need to be very cognizant of that and ensure that we've got adequate water supply for the folks here in Arizona, particularly as the CAP water starts to get cut back. Groundwater rights are going to be very important to us here. So good observation. And yes, they did have to deal with those types of issues. So again, I'm not going to ask for any votes. I really wanted to start this in August so that y'all had a chance to look at some of this information and provide feedback to myself and the Stormwater Utility. So
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman Chair is usually here visiting. What wash is he involved with?
Jimmy Coffey, he lives in the Highlands Mobile Home Park.
Okay.
So Highlands Wash.
Okay. That's fine. I understand where that one is.
Yep. Okay. So again, we really got three things for you guys to look at. Or if you have other ideas, please, we're all open. But the tried and true, we can try to go out to Curve or El Rio Preserve are the three things I want you guys to take a peek at. Okay. And then just looking at some dates in October that might work for y'all.
I think October 19th is the third Thursday.
I got a comment about that.
Okay.
I'm leaving town on the 17th.
Okay.
Okay, so before October 17th.
Before October 17th would be best.
Okay.
Commissioner Mattson, Jeff?
I won't be here for the next meeting. I'm going to be at a conference in Ohio.
You are excused.
Well, I'm letting you know ahead of time. I think either one of these two would be more at this time.
It'd be something different. And hopefully help y'all see what is possible out there. So I appreciate the feedback. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Spiker. So we'll continue with agenda item 5, discussion of the Town of Oro Valley's 2022-2023 MS4N report. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. And certainly this is of interest to Commissioner Hawkinson. He certainly provided feedback in the past. To that end, Commissioner Hawkinson, ADEQ has a new way to report what they have told all the MS4 entities in the state. They want to make it easier for the entities to provide input, and they want to make it easier for the ADEQ reviewers to get through the plethora of data that is being reported back to them. So again, these are related back to our stormwater management plan and our MS4 permit. We've got our 6 minimum control measures, MCMs, which are listed here, and they are in our stormwater management plan: public education and outreach, public involvement, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site stormwater runoff control, post-construction stormwater management, and good housekeeping. So those are the 6 activities that we are beholden to report on to the state. Something new this particular year is going to be outfall laboratory sampling. And I have mentioned that to y'all before. We've actually done 2 of the 3 that are required for a 5-year permitting window. So we're well on our way to being complete with that. But I have attached a draft sample, or a draft report, I'm sorry. These are due at the end of September. So again, we wanted to give the commissioners an opportunity, as well as the public, to take a peek at it and provide any feedback or input. But there's really not a lot of meat on the bone here. There's a lot of yes and no questions.
Right.
Did you do this? Did you do the outreach? Yes. It's a pretty straightforward response. So, you know, there's just not a lot of room for feedback, but certainly we will take any feedback y'all have. It is in the packet, and Commissioner Hawkinson, you should have a full printout there. If not, we can certainly get you one. But you can see there's not a lot of room for narrative in some of these. And it's really just reporting back on those six MCMs. Did you do it and what did you do? Okay, here we go. So let me see if I can find something here that would be of interest here.
I checked it. They're all yeses, so it looked pretty good, except for one no, I think.
Yep, and you know, that could be here. Did you have another entity implement control measures? No, we did it all ourselves. We don't very often need folks to come out and help us with this stuff. And that's part of what the stormwater utility fee was created for. We want to make sure we are getting out and doing the education and the outreach. We are doing the inspections ourselves. We are doing the monitoring and the good housekeeping measures. We are doing the trainings here. So let's see. We did a training. Let's see. Yeah, it's posted on the website. We had in here about training. Okay. Did you provide annual staff training per permit section 6.3-9? Yeah, we did. This particular year, we teamed up with our community and economic development group, which is actually here in-house with us. We attended one of their quarterly meetings, their quarterly staff meetings, and we gave a presentation on illicit discharge detection and really good housekeeping, how to keep construction sites clean. And if they see something, if their inspectors or their permit reviewers see something, please let us know. And let's make sure we're abiding by the MS4 permit here and really keeping Oro Valley as clean as possible. So we put a little presentation together. Scott Bennett was there. Dennis Roberts was there. Jane Hutchins and myself giving that presentation. But we do that annually. And it's really, we can't be everywhere all the time.
Sure.
So it's just educating our colleagues here as to what we have to do and seeing if we can get a little bit of help. So as somebody's rinsing out a paint bucket, they just don't throw it on the street. Put it into the proper container. Hey, your garbage bin's overflowing on site here. Call up waste management and haul that thing off. It really does help us stay in the good graces with ADEQ. And again, it's all about keeping the town clean and keeping that stuff out of the washes and out of the storm sewer system. Commissioner Hawkinson.
Just a comment on that. Taking what this training is an example, it says staff training per section 6.39. Mm-hmm. And you list one training session. I presume that when you put this together that will be all that one training session will make ADEQ happy. That section.
We could do more, but yes, the minimum amount is once per year.
Yeah, the section 6.3 doesn't specify a number that they expect you to provide, or you didn't promise anything more than one training session.
And it's really important, Commissioner Hawkinson, that we understand that as well as ADEQ, and we've contacted our colleagues out there to ensure we're meeting the requirements here, but we're just supposed to provide an annual internal training or staff training, so we do that. But in addition to that, I think it's at the bottom here. We also did We did another training. Did you implement an annual training program for staff that incorporates pollution prevention and good housekeeping techniques for section 6.2-2F? What this one is related to is we've got two facilities that are permitted through the state. The golf course maintenance facility on La Cañada, just down the street here, as well as the 680 facility. Now, why are those regulated by the state? Well, we're keeping pollutants on site there. We've got gas tanks. We've got oil containers for vehicles. We're servicing vehicles, particularly at 680. We've got our maintenance bays. So there's potential for pollutants to get into the MS4. Mm-hmm. So we're regulating those. We do have a facility plan that identifies all those critical elements and has an emergency response plan as a part of that. So in addition to the internal staff training, we go out to the operators of those facilities, which are town employees, and talk to them. Are you aware that there's a site plan here? Do you know where your emergency shutoff button is? Do you have a spill bucket available on site? And really just walking them through that plan. You'll see we only trained up two people, one for each facility, because they're operating, they're in control of that facility. So we had Jason Wolf at the golf course facility, and we had Zeke Ellis over at the 680 facility, just making sure we're all on the same page. Hey, if something happens here, A, call us, but do you know what to do? Should that gas tank spill and go all over the place, do you know what to do? Again, we can't be everywhere all at once, so it's really critical that we continue to, I don't want to say browbeat, but talk with our colleagues here and ensure that everyone knows what they're supposed to do and that that gets done. Commissioner Mattson.
I'm surprised that they do not request your response to be a little bit more explicit, such as, yes, see such and such manual we have on file, or something like that.
Now, we do have to submit those site plans to ADEQ, but they're not part of this annual reporting because they've already seen those and blessed those. So, yes, you do have to submit them to ADEQ, and they do get reviewed, but not part of the annual report. Now, if we do develop a new facility, that has to have a site plan, and that will go up to ADEQ for their review, but not as a part of this annual one. Again, they're really trying to slim down the reviews and the data input on a year-to-year basis. They've really found they don't have the staff to review 50 pages of documentation. Commissioner Hawkinson.
Along the lines of Mr. Manson's question, I think in the past, when the reports were more narrative in nature, the information relevant to what you were asking would have been included.
Correct.
But I see it as ADEQ's goal to make their review of these reports less time consuming.
Yes, they've streamlined the process pretty significantly.
Yeah.
And this is the second year that this it's gone this way. I appreciate that, but it really leaves a lot of information outside of the report. Certainly we know it and ADEQ is aware, but should the public go onto our website and see this annual report on there, there's really not a lot of information here. So, but again, you can always call up the Stormwater Utility. We're more than happy to share those plans with you and walk you through what actually we're doing on a year-to-year basis. But really, they've shortened it up to save a lot of time on the review and the data input side of things. And certainly during the audits by ADEQ, those things get drug out, and we go tour the sites, much like we did with ADWR and the floodplain management side in January. ADEQ comes around regularly and says, hey, let me see your facilities. Let me see your outfalls. Let me see your stormwater quality program. Our 1524 ordinance, they want to see that. That's when they really start to dig deep. So, again, like I said, we do need to submit this by the end of September. So I encourage the commissioners to take a peek at the draft and please provide feedback on this, and we'll certainly incorporate that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Spiker. We'll now go on to agenda item number 6, discussion and presentation on standing water complaints on Oro Valley Drive within the Oro Valley Country Club. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Crocker. This is a particular issue that has been going on really for quite some time, but has been brought to the attention of the town specifically since the end of last monsoon season. Some residents in the Third Fairway Sub-Association of Oro Valley Country Club have been complaining about standing water on Oro Valley Drive, like the agenda item suggests. So the town has gone out. We've been monitoring and assessing this. We've tried to do some minor maintenance work efforts to try to get that water off the road and on its way to the Cañada del Oro Wash. We haven't had much success. It is extremely flat out here, less than 0.5% of flow. We've got lots of sand in here. We've got sewers out here, obviously roadway. We have the Oro Valley Country Club. So there's lots of issues which are precluding the water from moving downstream. Because of the lack of fall, we cannot put a storm drain system in. So we're going to have to get creative on how we get that water to soak back into the ground and get it off the roadway here. Nobody's been hurt. Nobody's died out here. There's no structured damage. But it's really a nuisance for particularly the third fairway folks. They got to literally drive right through this ponding issue. So we do have some future work efforts that we're still looking at. We want to acquire some field survey data. We got to know what we're dealing with out there at a very in-depth or detailed level. We're coordinating with Pima County departments. I mentioned the wastewater department. We're also coordinating with the flood control district. The Board of Supervisors, Rex Scott, is involved. We're coordinating with the Oro Valley Golf Course itself. We've reached out to their superintendent. Obviously, we're communicating with the local residents. We do want to design and construct some kind of roadway improvement there to get the water off the road. We want to look at some kind of in-channel infiltration measures. And we're still monitoring and treating that standing water for vector abatement. And then we're doing some watershed modeling. So we're doing a lot of different things for this particular area. But the neighbors want it fixed yesterday, as you guys can probably appreciate. So let's take a peek at the presentation here. So a little location map. Here is Oro Valley Drive inside the Oro Valley Country Club. The CDO washes right out here. And the third fairway subdivision is right here. Literally, Oro Valley Drive is the only way in and out for all of these homes. So they got to drive through this ponding area every time it rains. The pink represents the public drainage easement. It's 100 feet wide, going from Granite Drive, essentially Oracle Road, all the way through the country club to the CDO Wash. Here's a pedestrian bridge right here. The blue lines represent sewer lines. Now, we kind of clip them. They do extend up and down, but for our purposes here, we just wanted to show there's two sets of sewer lines. Lots of manholes out there. You can see the country club here. We've got golf cart path and fairway, which are, in essence, kind of blocking some of the flow. It has to build up to get over the top of them to then continue on to the west toward the CDO wash. Again, we mentioned residents in here have been complaining to the town and the county in regard to that standing water. And as I mentioned, it's the sole access way for that sub-association in there. Oro Valley Drive is a public street. We do maintain that. Here's some pictures of the issue they're dealing with. Quite literally, the entire road has standing water in it. Obviously, it's a sunny picture. The rains have stopped, and the water just sits there. Kind of creates this muddy, stinky, nasty mess over here, right next to this person's driveway. The road's kind of at the wash is at a skew across the roadway, so just it's flat and it's at an angle. It doesn't drain well. So this is what we did this spring. Again, kind of looking at this same area here with all this grass. We mucked that out in an attempt to get the water to drain off the street, but it's so flat, it just didn't move off very well. Again, that was in May of 23. So in July, we saw a few rains happen. Water still ponded, but the work effort by the operations division significantly diminished how long it was standing on the road. So I'd say we'll just take an average storm, like a five-year storm event, trucking through here. We went from about 7 days of standing water to about 2 days of standing water. So we did provide an improvement, but they still have to drive through some water. And it's still breeding some mosquitoes. And again, it's just not moving very quickly at all. Commissioner Hawkinson.
That area is one of two that's a concern in Oro Valley Country Club. The other is over along the 11th fairway where the road has that dip.
Yep.
And then it goes up.
I know exactly where you're talking about as well.
Yeah.
The water again's wanting to come off the hillsides and go through the golf course on its way to the CDO wash as well. It doesn't stand in the road as much. They've gone ahead and put a little stormwater harvesting basin over there to kind of accept some of the water, but it's not big enough, and we still see a lot of mud, a lot of sand, well, and it's a nuisance.
The main concern there used to be that dip in the roadway where it would fill with sediment.
Yep.
And after about every storm event, the town would have to go over there with the crew and clean the roadway.
Yeah, we're still doing that to this very day, Commissioner Hawkinson. Our operations division is out in the country club on the regular. And we're not talking shovels. I mean, we're talking front-end loaders and dump trucks. I've seen the sand almost 3 feet high in the road out there. There's just not a lot of stormwater control, and there's very little sediment control happening out here. And this is some of the lowest spots in town. You're almost at grade with the CDO wash here, hence why it doesn't drain very well. We're almost at the same elevation as the CDO wash, so it's creeping along, but all the sands get deposited here. And this one doesn't quite have the sediment load like the up along the 11th fairway over there, but after the water dries up, you can kind of see the residue that's just left, and then we got to come and sweep the streets and clean them up, so it's really a maintenance nightmare for us, in addition to being a nuisance hazard for the residents. So the council is fully aware of this. The new town manager is aware of this. Obviously, our floodplain administrator, we've gone out here, toured this with the wastewater folks, with the Pima County flood control folks, and trying to come up and generate some solution sets out here, again, to get that water into the ground and off the road, and really from just sitting and ponding and creating algae and vectors, breeding vectors. So we're looking back toward the road in this particular. You can see the Catalina's back there. We're now looking east. The road's kind of sitting back here. So as a part of mucking out the road here, they pushed it off the screen to the left and kind of dug it down a little bit. So the water, again, would have to raise up to come over the top of this thing. And you can see all the debris and muck that's just kind of sitting here. And there's a resident living, like, right here. So, and we're going out and trying to abate the vectors. We're throwing dunks in there and trying to get that water to not breed mosquitoes in particular. Colorado River toads are now breeding in this sucker. So it's become quite loud for those folks. So this is really what we're trying to prevent. We want that thing to soak through, but we found, I don't know if it's caliche or just hardened surface, but a couple of inches underneath this thing, it's as hard as this table. So the water ain't going to soak through that. It's just literally sitting here. So as a part of our future analyses and investigations, maybe injection wells, dry wells, something of that nature to get the water to go underground. We looked at dumping some riprap, some rock out here, but it's so flat, we don't have the room for it. We don't have the elevation drop. So these are some things that we're certainly hearing from the residents out here, and we're trying to put a priority onto this sucker and do something about it. And again, this picture's from this last month. You can just see the water sitting there. So again, stakeholder coordination, I've mentioned most of this stuff, but we've reached out to Pima County and the Oro Valley Country Club and letting them know what's going on and seeing if we can pick their brain. The Country Club owns a lot of property, so maybe there's an opportunity to spread some water onto their property and allow it to soak in. I'd love to use the Bermuda grass to soak some of this stuff up, get it onto the, not really the fairways per se, but some of the out of bounds areas and maybe utilize some of that space. With that comes agreements with those folks. We're going to be looking outside of the easement and all sorts of possibilities here for us. So we are working toward that, and hopefully we can unload something to help these folks out. Any additional questions? This is a priority for the council as well as Supervisor Rex Scott. So it's got as much political attention as you're going to see in anything in Oro Valley. So don't be surprised if you hear more about it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spiker. That was very educational. So now we can move on to adjournment. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Yes, Mr. Hawkinson made the motion. Commissioner Mattson seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Chair says so moved. We are adjourned. Mm-hmm.